Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. My name is Daryl Hikes, and I am the President and CEO of Arise and Shine Global Ministries, and I will be your host for the next. I'll be operating in the capacity of Arise and Shine Global Ministries host for the next 29 minutes and 45 seconds. So, hey, thank you for tuning in or listening. Let's pray and get right into the program. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, number one, for your word. Thank you for your son who is your word, Jesus. Jesus, you know, thank you that he died on the cross for us. Thank you that he gave us or allowed us to have, to gain access back to you, that which was lost in the garden. And so we don't take that lightly. We don't take it for granted. I pray that the blinders be removed from the eyes of those who are being misled by Satan. I thank you that clear understanding is gained today and that people make a decision concerning Jesus, that it's not just something that I'm doing or just something that, you know, I'll get saved on my deathbed, or, you know, I'll take care of it tomorrow. No, Father, I thank you that decisions are made today. I thank you that conversations were had that are being brought back to the remembrance of individuals that, you know, they're realizing, hey, I need to be saved. I need to get this right before Jesus returns. And I thank you that there's a clear understanding that once you return, you don't make the decision then, you make the decision now. Because when you return, you're coming back for those that have already made a decision. I think Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. You're not coming back. You're coming back apart from sin for salvation, those that are saved. And so not wanting to, Lord, I don't want to scare people or try to use fear tactics or nothing like that. I just want to, my goal is to deliver an earnest message to say, hey, the time is now. It's the time is not tomorrow because you're not promised tomorrow. I'd have to explain that. But I just thank you that lives are saved and that individuals are being added to the church daily as they hear the word, as they're around people that share the word, as they experience your word in their own lives. And it's for that we give you thanks. It's in the wonderful, mighty, majestic, awesome, glorious, super cool name of Jesus that I pray. And if you're listening and you heard that prayer and it meant something to you, then just say amen. That's one thing I've learned is to not, if I don't agree with something, I'm not going to sign off on it. I'm not going to say, because amen means so be it. It's you coming into agreement with what was said. And if so, somebody says, hey, let's go rob a store, and you say amen, well, you just set yourself in agreement with robbing that store. And we don't want to do that. I know that may be a little bit extreme, but, you know. But no, it's not extreme. It's real. It's a reality. All right, so the single believer. Wow. You know, I recently graduated from Life Christian University down in Lutz, Florida, and I received an associate in theology. Now, does that mean all of a sudden now I'm some Bible guru or, hey, I read the scriptures, I ask God to help me understand the scriptures and to explain the scriptures. That's the gist of it. And the most important thing is to live your life by the scriptures. Now, everything in the Bible is not literal. There are allegories. There are figures of speech. There are hyperboles. There's all kinds of things. I mean, even Jesus himself taught in parables. Therefore, he literally taught in a way by which he used a lot of analogies. He used a lot of, he will point to a mountain and deal with the subject of faith. He would walk over to a fig tree and deal with the subject of understanding the importance of your words. He would talk to a woman at Jacob's well that dealt with diversity and inclusiveness. Because the realities of diversity and inclusion, there has to be a two-way street. It can't just be, you know, you accept me or else I'm going to try to do something to mess up your life. I've learned if I'm going to say I'm a person who believes in diversity and believes in inclusion, that means I'm going to approach other ethnicities. I'm going to purposely go and be around individuals that may not look like me, may not have grown up culturally like I did, may not be, you know, I was thinking about it the other day to where there are certain things that are done in Caucasian households that aren't done in African-American households, that aren't done in Asian households, that aren't done in Australian households, that are not done. So what happens is you have a lot of different stuff going on in different households, and we bring those households outside into society, and at that point people have a choice as to whether or not they want to deal with it, number one. Number two, as to whether or not they accept it. You know, there are a lot of things that people do I don't accept. I choose not to do. And there are things that I do that people do not accept, that they choose not to do. So the important thing is, and I want to stay on topic here. The important thing is individual choice. That's what it comes down to. You have every right decisions that you think are best for your life. Just like I have every right to make decisions that are best for my life. Now, when your decision impedes upon my decisions, there can be some conflict and vice versa. Same thing. There's some decision, you know, my decision may impede upon yours. But that's where we have to sit down and talk and decide, hey, do we want to move forward with this? Because how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Or is this where we say, you know what? I love you from a distance. I love you through prayer. I love you. I got to go. Yeah. So, all right. We got about 20 minutes left in the program. Let's talk about. I'll be reading out of. Let's talk about being married and then being single. But I'm really going to stress the being single part because I can talk about being single, seeing as how I am single. Paul uses a couple of different terms. You know, he says to the unmarried, "What does unmarried mean?" You know, I thought that was just a single person. No, because you can have a single person that's never been married. But then you can have a person that was married and now they're single. Yeah. You can have a person that was married and then we call them widows or widowers because they were married and their spouse passed away. They either passed to heaven or they passed to hell. You don't pass away because once you're created, you don't cease to exist. Once you exist somewhere. So Paul talked about being married, he talked about being single, and I've been married. I've been married twice, which means, well, you would know I said which means, but I've been divorced twice. So I've been single. I was single before I got married. Then I got married, so I was married. Then when I divorced, I was single. I was an unmarried single man, if that makes sense. Even, you know, when you do your taxes, there are different categories. Single, widow, separated, married. So you have different different categories. I used to work for the IRS, and there were certain exemptions for married people that single people didn't get, and there were certain, you know, certain benefits, you know, a single person that's in a domestic to where, you know, there's a common law marriage, and I think after 7 years, there are all kinds of different things. Now, I choose to stick with the teachings out of the Bible when it comes to marriage, single, unmarried, widowed. I choose to stick with that. That's because the Bible is my manual of instructions. I tried living without the Bible, and it wasn't any fun. It just didn't work. So I tried living without the Bible, and I now live by the Bible. Now, does that mean I get everything right? I didn't say that. I'm not going to fool myself or try to fool anybody in that area, because we make mistakes, but I am not a habitual mistake maker. That's the definition of a sinner. Someone that is bent, or their nature is to continuously go against God. That individual they don't know how to live according to how God wants them to live, because they don't know God. Just like I used to live that way. I didn't know God. But let's read some scriptures here. So if you have your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, I'm going to be reading out of the Message Bible, but then you may have the King James Version, the New King James Version, the New Living Translation. There are several different translations that you can read out of. Find what works for you. That's the key. I'll never forget. Oh, I went to my first real Bible study when I was living in Tucson, Arizona. And this guy, well, his name was Pastor Danny Chakota, and he and his wife, Melissa Chakota, and they had a Bible study. He invited me to a Bible study, so I went out of courtesy. I was raised to where if somebody asked you to come to church, and I'll go out of courtesy. I'll just go check them out. Let me see what this is about. Well, I got there, and Pastor Chakota, he kept reading out of this Bible that talked about how much God loved me. And I never paid attention to that growing up. I've been around Bibles. There were people that read out of Bibles. I went to church, all that kind of stuff. But this was different. This guy here, he had this book that was like saying there was, looked like it was lit up. I was like, man, so I went and bought one, and I began to read myself. And I have a version to this day. Now, the one I had, it fell apart because I was just, dear God, I mean, I was in that thing. And that's not to say I'm not in the Bible now, but it was, all I did was I just soaked it up. Oh, God, I just wanted to read and just, oh, this is wonderful. And so as a result, I developed a love for the Word of God. And therefore, I started reading the Bible in the Greek, the Hebrew. There is some stuff in Aramaic, Chaldean. Moses wrote a lot. Moses, his writings, of course, they're Hebrew, but then there's some Chaldean words in there. There's different words that mean different things in different languages. And so you have to be able to rightly divide the word by studying out, you know, study to show yourself approved. So you can understand scriptures, and you can understand what was said at that time. You know, when Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, well, that sounds like some vampire stuff. You know, that sounds weird, but I understood what he was saying. He was speaking metaphorically. Now, when I take communion, I believe that's the body and the blood of Jesus. That's what I believe that. Even though I know I'm not taking a bite out of his arm, you know, and I'm not, you know, sitting up and using a knife and cut him and then just licking his, I know I'm not doing that, but I believe that represents his body and his blood. So, and that's one of those things you have to discern by faith. See, there are a lot of things, a lot of times people want things laid out for them to where they can plainly see. Well, God doesn't do that. There are a lot of mysteries in the Bible, but then God wants to reveal, take the veil off the mysteries through relationships. It wasn't that God didn't want Adam and Eve to ever eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They just were not ready. It's like someone, you know, I can hand a set of car keys to a five-year-old, but I don't think that'll be a good idea. They're not ready. So let's wait. Let's continue to talk to them about the importance of first obtaining your driver's license or, you know, studying to get your permit. And then after you get your permit, let's get you some time on the road. I think it's 40 hours now, maybe more. I'd have to look. But let's get you some time on the road out there amongst other people that are driving. And then when it's time, you take the test. You take the written, well, you took the written test to get your permit. But then you go ahead, you know, you take the test to get your full license. But there's a process, there are steps. And what happens is a lot of times, and this is a good segue over into what I'm going to be talking about, we just jump over into the part where we kind of forgot to go back and do stuff. Or we should have started at start, but now we're over here at the finish line and we've skipped all the steps that it took. Once you got, you know, you started out, and then there were some lessons you were supposed to learn along the way. We're going to be talking about being single. Well, let's just go into the scriptures. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, "Now getting down to the questions you have asked in your letter to me, first, is it a good thing to have sexual relations?" That's the question. Paul says, certainly, but means to zero out. It means whatever was before the but, just zero that out and pay attention to what I'm about to say. That's what but means. But only within a certain context. It's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. The marriage bed must be a place of mutuality. The husband seeking to satisfy his wife, the wife seeking to satisfy her husband. Marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. Abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time, this is talking about married people, if you both agree to it, and if it's for the purposes of prayer and fasting, but only for such times. Then come back together again. Why? Satan has an ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect it. I'm not, understand, commanding, I'm still reading, commanding these periods of abstinence, only providing my best counsel if you should choose them. In other words, Paul is saying seek God on how to run your marriage. You know, he's just giving some guidelines and some insight based on what he's got from God and what he knows himself. Because a lot of people won't admit this, or they may not want to talk about it. Paul was married. He was a Pharisee. Yeah, he had a wife, and he had. I'm not sure if he had children, or if he just had a son. But because you would be considered cursed of God if you didn't have children. What's wrong with you? You couldn't even. There were some things you couldn't even serve in leadership. If there were certain things that weren't there, Yeah. So I like verse 7 where it says, sometimes I wish everyone were single like me, a simpler life in many ways, but celibacy is not for everyone any more than marriage is. God gives the gift of the single life to some, the gift of the married life to others. Now, skip down to, I'm going to skip down to verse, 32. Because everything up here is talking about marriage, and it's talking about if you have a believing spouse or unbelieving spouse. Yeah, let's go down to 32, and then maybe we'll go back up and talk about some other stuff. I'm going to start in verse 29, and it says, I do want to point out, friends, that time is of the essence. There is no time to waste, so don't complicate your lives unnecessarily. Keep it simple. In marriage, grief, joy, whatever it is, whatever. Even in ordinary things, your daily routines of shopping and so on, deal as sparingly as possible with the things the world thrusts on you. This world, as you see it, is fading away. Now, verse 32 through 35 in the message reads like this. It says, I want you to live as free of complications as possible. When you're unmarried, you're free to concentrate on simply pleasing the master. Marriage involves you in all the nuts and bolts of domestic life and in wanting to please your spouse, leading to so many more demands of your attention. The time and energy that married people spend on caring for and nurturing each other, the unmarried can spend in becoming whole and holy instruments of God. I'm trying to be helpful and make it as easy as possible for you, not making things harder. All I want is for you to be able to develop a way of life in which you spend plenty of time together with the master without a lot of distractions. Now, Paul is not saying that you shouldn't get married or it's a sin to get married. He's not saying that. But what he's saying is whatever state you find yourself in, number one, be grateful for that state. Number two, time to develop that relationship with the Lord or you know, because as a single man, I'll give you an example. If I want to wake up tomorrow and go to California, and God says, okay, Darrell, I want you to go to California tomorrow, I can do that. Why? I have no obligations. Now, do I desire to be married? I believe I'm designed that way. I do. Wait a minute. Let me do something that I tell my campers and the teenagers that I deal with and the people, the adults too. It's a yes or no question. So the question was, do I desire to be married? Yes. Period. She would have to understand the life that I live, just like I would have to understand the life that she lives. I'm going to share something that is going to be foreign to a lot of people. I would absolutely, and I'm trying not to get into too many details because there are certain relationships that I am a part of that are absolutely just cool as all get out, and it's with a particular lady. We do not engage in sexual activity. We do not kiss. We do not go in that area because it would make no sense for me to turn on stuff that is not meant to be turned on outside of marriage. But what I was leading to was the ideal woman for me would be, or the ideal wife for me, would be a woman that continues to live her life. I continue to live my life. But when we're together, we're together. And she doesn't have to be, like, I wouldn't need to be on the phone a lot, you know. Now, I understand that. See, these are the things that Paul is talking about. These are the things that a married man has to attend to. But as an unmarried man, I don't have to attend to these things. Now, like I said, that can change. That can, because, you know, mess around and run across the right lady, and I might throw this whole program out the window and be like those cartoon characters with the, where their eyes, like, you know, come out of it, you know, spring out of their head, and their tongue is, I mean, because there are some beautiful, absolutely beautiful, gorgeous women out there. There are. I mean, and that's another thing. You know, we've kind of been sold on this idea, like, a certain type of woman has to be attractive, and that's not the case. Everybody has their own preferences. I know what I prefer. I know what I like Bruno Mars, you know. I know what I like, and that's okay. It's okay for you to like what you like. Nothing wrong with that. Some, you know, women, they want a tall guy. Some women like short guys. Some men like women that are, you know, big boned. Some men like women that are, you know, really thin. It depends on what you like. And that's okay to have likes and preferences. And no one's feelings have to get hurt, and none of that. But back to what I was saying. We're living in a time where I just don't have time to lollygag around and just goof off and for people, you know, trying to figure out, well, what are you going to do? Okay. We come together, we make some decisions, and then we keep it moving. That's the simplicity. Now, as a man that's committed to the Lord Jesus, I can't give my intimacy to a woman that I'm not married to. Like, I don't, you know, there's a time of getting to know her. There's a time of, you know, just being around her to see how she is. She might have a bad temper. She might shut down and not deal with issues, and she might be loud. I mean, all kinds of things. I just, that's not me. I don't do loud and out of control, and just, I don't see the point. That's not to say that you'd have to just be quiet all the time, but I just don't see the point of what we used to say, showing you're behind. And so, I just wanted to share just what the scripture said and some personal stuff about my life. And so with that being said, hey, look, if you've never accepted Jesus, today is a good day to talk to him about your life. And so I encourage you to, you know, find some scriptures where you can, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, where you can talk to the Lord. With that being said, love God, love people. He'll show you how to have fun in the process. God loves you. I love you. And I gotta go.